Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Hi, I'm Sister Geraldine Schmidt, and you're listening to Musings from a Catholic Evangelist.
Several years ago, actually last year, I was asked to do research about the holiness of the Diocese of Harrisburg. And from that holiness of the Church of our diocese, what spawns saints and servants of God's and blesseds within our diocese. And it's interesting who came forth. The first one, which was near and dear, close to my heart, is Elizabeth Ann Seton. But before I get into her life and a little spin on her life, because I like to spin things, there's always a story to start with. So some time ago, Bishop Gaynor was celebrating Mass for our candidates for a permanent diaconate. And he tells a story that he read somewhere that there was an African tribe who, when a woman realized that she was pregnant, she and her friend would go out into the wilderness to have a camp out, more or less, and pray and to listen to the song of the child within her. That's the child's sacred song. And they would stay out into the wilderness until they knew the song by heart. When the baby was born, the whole town would sing the song. And then as the baby grew up and was married, the whole village would sing the song of the bride and the groom. And then the last time their song was sung was at their death. And he said, and it was interesting, it was an interesting homily, a great story. I don't even remember the scripture, what he was paralleling that to. But as the Mass presided, I heard in my heart a woman's voice humming. And I said, I prayed, "Who are you?" And she said, "I am the queen whom you serve. I am the voice of the Diocese of Harrisburg." And you know, it's one of those things where you know the church is feminine, but to actually hear it, to own that. You know, and that was a moment of grace for me, but also a moment of realization that the saints, the blesseds, the servant of God's, and the holy men and women who haven't been declared those titles, who live within our boundaries of our diocese, are indeed holy. And also serve the diocese, the church, and serving God. So it's where to be. So there is, if you Google Elizabeth Ann Seton's, there are full-blown movies of her life out on YouTube. I am never going to, even with this little snippet of a video, ever even going to come close. So if you really want an in-depth story of her, go Google her. But she wrote at her deathbed. And it's funny because at the moment of death, you often, all the trappings of life fade away. And you get to the nuance and the experience, the heart of an individual. And on her deathbed, she writes, she says, "Dear one," and her sisters are gathered around her, "Dear ones, pray for me when I am gone, for I shall want it. I thank God for having made me a child of his church. When you come to this hour, you will know what it is to be the child of his church." And as her biographer, as I read, biographer said, what did she mean being a child of the church? You know, you think of a child in the arms of its mother asleep, or the glee of a child being tossed up in the air by his mom or dad, or the awesome moment in which the child becomes old enough to play peekaboo with mom or dad. You know, there is security knowing where the parent is, okay? She believed in the utmost dignity and the amazing holiness of what the church is all about. Incredible. To be a child of the church is to trust in God. Totally, totally trust in God. And to share that trust as a child shares the trust of its parents. Years after her death, her legacy continued within the diocese. Now, she's buried in Emmitsburg, Maryland, which is just south of the border in our diocese in Pennsylvania. So she never physically came here and worked within her diocese, but her sisters did. During the Civil War, her sisters actually were nurses within a field hospital that was stationed in Gettysburg. So St. Francis of Xavier Church, the sanctuary, the narthex of the church, the main body of the church, was the field hospital. And here, Union soldiers and Confederate soldiers were wounded and laying side by side. And her sisters totally dedicated themselves to service of these wounded soldiers, not because they were Union or Confederate, but because they were men who were a child of God, their spiritual children, and they wanted to help them and brought peace about that. In fact, one story says that the Confederate came to, not really very aware of where he was, saw a Union soldier, picked up his gun to shoot him, and the sister screamed at him and said, "That's not in here, cut it out," and he stopped. What a great gift, the understanding that the church isn't just a building, but we're living stones of the church. Her legacy that Elizabeth Ann Seton brought to our sisters touched our diocese, touched at a moment in which our nation was crying out in the horror of war. They were true beacons of what Elizabeth Ann Seton talked about, the dignity of the church. The church as people of God, as a living, the living stones of the physical building of the church in Elizabeth Ann Seton. But to be children of the church, especially in today's world, is to trust that the church is indeed divine. Not the buildings, not the people within it, but there's a legacy of trust that comes from God himself. A promise of Jesus and that trust and that love, because the fruit of love is the trust. That love never ends because it's from God. And Elizabeth Ann Seton understood that and just showed that with her sisters. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Musings from a Catholic Evangelist, and I'm Sister Geraldine.